Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled for a day. They began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let us just pray. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. May you open it up for us. May you help us to understand it, Lord. And may you give me the words to do so. Amen. I'm very conscious this morning, okay? I've got my shirt on, my jumper on, my trousers on, a pair of trainers on, okay? So if you're looking at me thinking he's trying to act quite cool, I'm not. My feet are really sore, okay? So I'm not trying to act cool. I'm just very conscious of it this morning. But this morning I want to talk about something. And over the next few weeks we're going to just open it up a wee bit. Turning points. What I mean by turning points. A turning point is defined by this. As a moment when a significant change in the course of events has taken place that will affect the future of a person or a thing. When a significant change in the course of events has taken place that will affect the future of a person or a thing. A turning point. We don't know when a turning point will show up, where it will be, how it will happen. But at some point, something shifts. At some point, something will turn. The scriptures teach us that Peter sank so low, if we remember that when Jesus, when he was on the water, that Peter was sank so low, Jesus reaches down and touches him and lifts him out of the water. It's where the story would turn. God called a man called Abraham to leave everything that he knew. It was a turning point for Abraham. Remember God calling Moses from a burning bush to go to Egypt? 400 years of slavery for God's people. It was their turning point in the story. King David, we remember, had an encounter with the prophet Samuel. Samuel, guided by divine revelation, arrives in Bethlehem searching for a king. A turning point in the story. Calvary, the cross, we're going to look at that later. Jesus, who died and would rise again. A turning point for humanity. Are you starting to get the point? Turning points are a time or a place in history. A time when something shifts. Turning points are a shift in circumstances. A moment in time when something changes. And I don't know about you. I don't know what your journey's like. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're like day by day, but is anybody looking for a turning point in their story? You might be okay in your story. You might be walking well, but I'm always looking for another turning point in my story with Jesus and my story with God. And I don't know about you if you're looking for this turning point, or are you expecting? Are you looking for one? Are you ready for one? Do you want one? Are you expecting God to shift something in your life? In you, and maybe even through you? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? Especially getting into a new year. Remember last year I talked about this season I want to fix my eyes in Jesus. I'm still not doing that too well at the minute. But I'm looking for a shift in my circumstances, and that's up to me to shift that. But our scripture reading this morning, we see a shift in the story. We see a turning point in our story. It's Passover. It's a celebration of the story of Exodus. It's a time of gathering. It's a time where everyone goes to Jerusalem to worship God. It's Passover. It's celebrated with a series of rituals. And each ritual symbolizes a different part of the story of the children of Israel. Mary and Joseph, we see, enter Jerusalem. They have come to celebrate, to be part of the bigger picture of what's taking place. And when we look at this part of the story, it's so easy to criticize them, isn't it? It's so easy to see what they've done wrong in the story. It's so easy to judge them in what we just read. They lose Jesus, their child. They lose a young boy. It's so easy to pass judgment on them, looking from the outside in, into their story. But here's something we need to remember this morning. Here's something to note down. All our experiences are brought into God's word when we read it. All our experiences are brought into God's word when we read the word of God. And we need to take this on board even when we look at this portion of scripture this morning. We need to remember, we always bring our own perspective to the story. When we read God's word in general, we often read it through the lens of our own experiences, from our position, from our posture, even our life's journey. I don't know what you were like when you were growing up and how you grew up or where you grew up or anything like that. My experiences growing up, a boy from Belfast, moved into Bangor, moved into an estate in Bangor. From memory, my parents, everything that I remember, they always worked hard to provide for us. Everywhere I would normally go, I would go where my mother usually worked. I remember being in certain places, and that's where my mom was working. I remember all those experiences. My dad, my father, always seemed to be away early in the morning, home later that night. And I always had the threat over my life, wait till your father gets home. That was always put into me. I couldn't occur less because nothing ever happened. But the threat was always there, wait till your father gets home. But in my experience and in my journey as a child, I had a lot of freedom. My parents were out working, unless I was with my mother. I had a lot of freedom. My dad was out. Me and my sister were in the house of our own. I learned to make chips at about the age of 8. You know, with a frying pan nowadays, you'd be going, oh no. But I had a load of freedom in my journey. Most of the time. Most of the time I would go to school. Most of the time I would miss school. Most of the time I'd miss the bus to go to school. Sometimes I would walk to school. Sometimes I wouldn't walk to school. So in my journey and in my experiences, I had a lot of freedom to do stuff or not to do stuff. My parents were never bad parents. We were fed. We were clothed. We had everything that we needed to survive, all of that there. But most of the time, they probably didn't know where I were or where I was. There's good English. They didn't know where I would be. They didn't know what I was up to or what I was doing most of the time. And I'm sure there was the questions that I can't remember. Where were you? Where have you been? What have you look at the state, it probably was more the state, but where have you been? So when I look at this portion of scripture this morning, most probably I'm going to bring my own experiences to this portion of scripture. What do I mean by that? You see, when I see Jesus going missing, Jesus wandering off, Jesus moving away from his parents, what's the big deal, I think? Because that was my experience as a child. What's the big deal? Jesus just takes off, goes to the temple, goes to wherever he was. His parents are somewhere else, and I don't see what the big problem is in this portion of Scripture. Someone here might have a different experience. You might have had a strict upbringing. You might have been close to your parents. Your parents wanted to know everything you were doing, but that wasn't the case for me. So when I read this portion of Scripture, I read it through the lenses of my own experience. Does that make sense? And that's how normally we read God's Word. We have to be careful of that as well, that we don't read it wrong through that. Jesus goes missing, 12 years old. His parents do not know where he is. He was given by God. The most valuable thing they had goes missing. Remember, Mary and Joseph hid Jesus in Egypt for the fear that he might have been killed when he was younger. He was so precious that they protected him. And here we see at 12 years old, Jesus wanders off, and they did not know that. And here's where I want to go in my story this morning and my points this morning. We're all in danger this morning. Whether we've moved from last year into this year and nothing's changed, we're all in danger this morning of losing what God has given us, losing our most precious thing, what we have with Jesus, losing, I'm going to say, our most valuable gift. Here's what we got to remember in the story. Jerusalem is bustling. The city is bursting at the seams. Everybody is gathering. And Mary and Joseph lose their most valuable possession. I'm a parent now, and most of you are parents in here, and we understand what it's like to be a parent now, so we do. And I never forget when we were first starting out, early days, we had our eldest now, Diana. And we never remember, we were one at one stage. We were good parents, okay, well, I'm going to tell you this story. We were very, very good parents. But I never forget, we were playing rounders out our front when our child was asleep in our cot, okay? Now, the back door was there, and we were here. We weren't far from the house. And we would go in that again and look for our Diana. She's okay. Yes, she's sleeping, all of this here. Claire goes up, and we can't find Diana anywhere. She'd gone missing on us, and we were just outside the back door. And we looked everywhere. We ran across to my father, who was across the field. Diana hadn't been there. She had nowhere to go to get him. And we were looking everywhere. Neighbors were out. We were just about to phone the police. And we found her just under the cot. We just got up and underneath the cot and hit on us, who she had. So I understand what it's like to lose something. To lose a child. I don't know if you've ever been in a busy place with your kids and they just wander off. And you go, and you have a moment of panic and a moment of, has anybody ever done that in a busy, busy place? And your heart sinks so much. It's a terrible feeling to lose the most valuable thing you have. The anxiety, thinking the worst, understanding. And I can understand when I look at this portion of Scripture, from that experience, I can understand what Mary and Joseph must have been going through. Where has Jesus gone? What has happened to him? The city is bustling. Where has he gone? I sort of get that now a wee bit because I'm sort of a responsible parent. But to lose something so precious this morning, to lose the presence of God, listen to me this morning, to lose the most precious thing you could have, which is God's presence. Remember the garden. God asked Adam a question. Adam, who walked with God, who had a relationship with God, God knew where he was. But here was the thing, as Adam walked with God and talked with God and journeyed with God, God always knew where Adam was, but Adam didn't realize something, that a connection had been lost. You see, they had walked together, they had talked together, they had been intimate together. And I do believe this, it's impossible for those who love Jesus to lose God. Why am I saying that? Because you can't lose him. He can never lose us, but we can lose the awareness of him, can't we? We can lose intimacy with him. We can lose his presence very, very quickly. And I would ask a question this morning. I've been asking myself that this week. Where are you today? Where would you be in your relationship with God? I asked somebody that this week, you know, where would you be in their journey with God? And they said 50%. And I would say with my relationship with God, the minutes are probably about 50%. It's sitting on that edge of 50%. I'm not there. I'm almost there. I'm in danger of going backwards. And I would ask you this morning, if you were to put your relationship, your awareness of God, your, what would I say, your getting up in the morning, your intimacy with him, where would you sit this morning? If you were to give it a percentage, where would that be? You see, here's the problem we have. When we abandon our relationship with him, and it can't be called an abandonment, abandonment always leads to deterioration. Think of it this way. Think about your house. Think about where you live, okay? Think about the place you live. You don't have to knock any walls down. You don't have to break any windows. You don't have to strip paper off. You don't have to set the place on fire for it to deteriorate. So you don't. Leaving the house to its own devices, if you don't take care of your house, what will happen to it slowly? It'll start to fall apart. When you don't run the water, when you don't turn the lights on, when you don't put the heating on, when you're not cutting the grass, when you're not weeding, when you're not painting, when you're not touching up, abandoning the house, leaving the house to its own devices causes it to deteriorate. Recently, we were going away, as you know, we were away just before Christmas, and where we are, I have to put a lot of things in place for to go away, believe it or not. And when you talk to insurance companies, okay, insurance companies are really, really crafty. They don't give you any idea of what they want, but you have to ask a load of questions. What do I need to do? And I had to ask a load of questions, and I always ask them questions, because I know if anything goes wrong, they'll just go, nothing to do with us. So I ask a lot of questions, and here's what they come back with for me. If you're away for 7 days, that's okay. After 7 days, the place is vacant to them. It's abandoned. Isn't that a strange thing to do? After 7 days, they're saying to me, the place is vacant and it's abandoned. Now, I remember because I was in a housing thing. I worked in housing for a while, and it was 6 months to us. Usually, a house would be abandoned if there was nobody in it. But the insurance company were very crafty, saying 7 days we're happy with. You can leave it for 7 days, but after that, they says, the place is vacant. It's abandoned. You see, they understand something. They understand that abandonment leads to deterioration. Something could happen within them 7 days. The property needs cared for continually. That's what they're saying to me. Think about it like this. Most of you probably drove here this morning, didn't you? Leave your car in the garage for a couple of years. What happens? Probably won't work. You'll have a flat battery, won't you? That's the one thing it will have. The tires will go flat. Leave your car for long enough, it won't work. And that's why we drive cars. It's good to drive a car. Think about your health this morning. Ignore certain conditions. My feet are killing me. Ignore certain conditions. What will happen? It'll lead to problems. Think about your relationships. Ignoring them, not putting stuff into them, it will lead to problems. See, in our scripture reading this morning, it's so easy to read it. It's so easy to think that Jesus could have been abandoned by his parents. It's so easy to think that there, especially if it's in your experiences. Looking back at my childhood, when I think of my childhood, it would be easy to think the same from my perspective. I carry all the hallmarks of feeling abandoned, believe it or not, okay? Because of my childhood, I have all the hallmarks of someone who could have been abandoned. Wanting to please people. Give out too much. Not trusting people enough. Push others away. I would carry all those, not so much now, but I would carry all those traits, can I say? Confronted, wanting to run away, to avoid rejection, to avoid hurt. Feeling abandoned affects other. Feeling abandoned affects every other feeling we have. It affects every relationship we encounter. It affects our family. It affects our friends. It affects our church. And listen, it affects our relationship with God. But here's the thing. No matter what I think, no matter what my experiences are, no matter what my childhood was, it was a lie that I was ever alone. And I mean that. It was a lie. It was a lie that I was left to my own devices. It's not the truth at all. God had always a purpose and a plan for my life. God had always overseen everything. I know there was prayer in my life, and I know there was people praying for us, an auntie and an uncle. But the lie that I was always alone was untrue. It's the same for my life, and it's the same for your life. God has always had a plan for all of us in here. And the turning point, if I want to get back to turning points, okay, is when I give my life to Jesus, when I surrendered it all, whether it was the good experiences I had or bad experiences I had, and I always live of this verse, what the enemy meant for evil, listen to me, God meant for good. It's amazing how God turns things around in our lives. All my experiences, all these experiences, here's what they've done. All my bad experiences, all my abandonment experiences, everything that I've went through has given me such a thirst for God. And I don't know if that's what's happened in your life or not, but all my experiences have given me such a thirst for God, listen, that only He could quench. You see, God has a plan. No matter what our past has been like, no matter what is happening last year, and even maybe continuing this year, God has a plan. And I think we all need to hear this sometimes. Those who love Jesus are never alone, are never abandoned. I've got here, they never walk alone. I was probably watching Liverpool at the time I was doing this, okay? They never walk alone. Listen to me, we sometimes need to sing that. They never walk alone. They're never left to their own devices. Remember, God's always wanting us. Sometimes we just don't want him, and we go our own way. See, God's plan for us all is to be in relationship with him, to walk with him, to talk with him, to be consumed by him. You see, when we don't do that, our spiritual life deteriorates. Our physical walk will go downhill. When we don't connect daily, when we feel abandoned, and I know we know all of this, but when we don't do our part in this, we can feel abandoned very, very quickly. We get stuck in the mud. We feel things won't change. We think things will never change or turn a corner. We think all of that stuff. But God's remedy to this is very simple. God's remedy to this is so powerful. He says to me, come to me, all who are weary. And what does he say? I will give you rest. And I love this verse, okay? Psalm 37:25. I love this from the Amplified Bible. I love this verse. I have been young, and yet I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous. Those who are in right standing with God, my version says, abandoned or his descendants pleading for bread. I love that verse. When we are in right standing with God, listen, God looks after it all. God looks after our kids, even if they're not walking with God. It's his responsibility. I believe that's what that verse says. When God never sees the righteous forsaking or their seed begging for bread. What a verse to live off this morning. When we put God first, when we put God first in all areas, he takes care of his own and the rest, I believe. And I don't know about you. I need God in my life to turn things around. There's nothing majorly wrong with me. But I just go like this sometimes, and I couldn't be bothered with this or bothered with that. I need to turn around in my circumstances. I need to see him working again. I need to hear him more clearly. I need to see him do things that are outside my control. And just as I come to finish this morning, the turning point in our story this morning is simply this. Mary and Joseph lose Jesus. Listen, I keep saying this here, and I don't know why it's right to say it, but responsible people shouldn't lose things, isn't that right? If you're responsible for something, you really shouldn't lose it. Responsible people shouldn't lose things, but they lose focus of where he was. I know January's just upon us, last year has gone, and I wonder, and I looked at my own journey in this too, I wonder, did you lose sight of Jesus last year? Did you lose your focus? Have you abandoned even your first love? See, abandonment leads to deterioration. And we all lose focus. We all do it at some stage. It's impossible to keep high focus all the time. We'll all push Jesus aside. We'll all, at one point, we'll lose sight of him. But here's the big thing in all of that. He never loses sight of us. You see, it was Passover in our story. It was a tradition. It was a meeting place. It was a time to gather in our story this morning. Jerusalem, as I said, would have been busy. It would have been the place to be. Every year they would come, but this year would be different. This year there had been a turning point. It was the 12th year. Something had changed in the story. Change was taking place. Things were never going to be the same again. The turning point was the 12th year. See, up to this point, Jesus would come year after year. It was tradition. Jesus would have done the traditional thing. He would have came. He would have come to the biggest occasion. The whole idea was coming was this here. This is why they came to Passover. This is why they came to Jerusalem. And this is what we need to take on board this morning, was to remember, to have the words imprinted on their minds and in their hearts. The words from Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you serve, Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in the land you were living, this is the verse, this is the part for me. But for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord. For me and for my household, we're going to serve the Lord this year. For me and for my household, I have pledged it, I have said it, I am praying it. For me and for my household, listen to me, I'm going to serve the Lord this year. Whether if I feel like it, whether I could be bothered with it, which is all true, whether things go against me and for my household is what I've been praying. Listen, we're going to serve the Lord this year. How about that for a turning point this year? How about that for a statement of fact this year? How about that for a prayer this year? How about that for a turning point in your story this year? You see, they would enter Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, not knowing Jesus was the Passover, not knowing Jesus was their healer, not knowing Jesus was their rescuer, not knowing Jesus is the life, not knowing Jesus was the answer. For me and for my household, I'm not going to neglect him this year. I'm not going to let anything get in the way this year. For me and for my household this year, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I don't know if you are this year. I'm not going to ignore the most precious gift that I have. It's the presence of God. And I neglect it often. I couldn't be bothered with it. And yet it's the most precious thing any of us have in this room this morning is the presence of the Lord. I'm not going to abandon it. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that's not pretty sometimes. Many of us know in here have been around for many years. Serving the Lord isn't pretty. Sure it's not. Sometimes it's putting your hand down a toilet there, so it is, and picking out what we need to pick up. Serving the Lord isn't easy. But I'm going to serve him in the good times. I'm going to serve him through the hard times. I'm going to serve him in the thirsty places. I'm going to serve him in the dry times. I'm going to serve him when I have plenty. And I'm going to serve him when I have lack. For me and for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Even though I still have experiences that I carry. Even though sometimes I feel lost. Even though I don't understand everything. Even when I don't feel it. Even when I don't see it, and I know there's a song out there, I can't get to my mind. But for me and for my household, we're going to serve the Lord, and I hope Claire's on board with that as well. I know she will. She'll be hitting me over the head when I don't serve the Lord. But for me and for my household this morning, and I hope that that's your prayer this morning as we come to communion, for you and for your household, I pray that that's what you put first this year. Let that be our prayer this year. Let that be our motto this year. Paint it on your walls if you need to, but put it on your fridge if you have to. Put it somewhere where you can see it. For me and for my household this morning, I'm going to serve the Lord. Remember it. Pray it. Think about it. Read it. Even though we have experiences, even though at times we go lost, even though I don't understand it, even though I don't feel it, even though I can't see it, for me and for my household this morning, I'm going to serve the Lord. Let us all stand this morning.